The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fitzroy, and you are listening to Cracking the Nature Code. Whales singing pop music, termites going to architecture school, ants harvesting in their farms. These and other such oddities of the natural world have fascinated me, as countless other humans throughout history. If you are curious like me, or perhaps you're feeling like something's missing and you're experiencing life as simply mundane, join me to explore these mysteries with humor and humility to experience the world in a brand new way. This podcast does not provide medical advice. All content provided is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen. The views presented here do not represent the views or opinions of Dominican University of California and its employees.
It was horrible. I was 5 or 6. My mom took me for her cousin, young woman with 4 years old child, and she died from cancer. And my mom took me for that event. I think I was traumatized forever. I remember everything so vividly. I remember she was in coffin, and that little kid, he was running around, playing, and shake his mom, like, "Mom, let's go," like, "Mom, stop sleeping," something. It was horrible. It was a bad experience. The 5 or 6 years old shouldn't be around that, in my opinion. Because kids don't understand it, correct? So it's just like a scary experience.
This past weekend, while sitting on the deck with my wife, our attention was suddenly captured by a vulture gliding overhead, silent and calm. We pondered on the question of the different dimensions in life, the constant calm of the natural world day after day, while on our human level, life seems to be characterized by constant strife in the world. What is it that we're searching for? What is it that makes us act in such a manner, instigating conflict? So much suffering created by ourselves, while nature continues steadfast and quietly as it always did. It feels like such a contradiction, as when witnessing that vulture, perceived as majestic and graceful in flight, but instinctively unpleasant when seen perched from up close. Is it that we're longing to return to some lost Eden? Or are we just children who don't understand? Siberian folklore recounts the shaman's initiation journey. A chosen one is made to retreat into solitude far from the village, where at some point, the one falls into the underworld and is devoured by any number of demons who dismember and consume its flesh, leaving all bones completely bare and with no bone left touching any other bone. After some time, the Great Spirit reconstructs the one's body, rebuilding the one's flesh anew, who is then returned to life as a shaman, with the sole purpose of healing his or her people. But there's a catch. The shaman can only heal people from those demons whom the shaman encountered in the underworld. But in our modern world, when it comes to psychological traumas, who can we rely upon to help us understand our situation? Who understands and can help translate the language of the unconscious? This week, I've had the privilege of interviewing a dear friend, who is a doctor from her homeland of Russia and now a registered nurse here in the Bay Area. For almost a decade, she has been helping pioneer a new mental health treatment in the US known as transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, and focusing primarily on treating our mentally and emotionally wounded veterans of war who have endured atrocities few of us could ever dare imagine, and who struggle with traditional psychological and psychiatric treatments. To them, my friend is like that magical healer to whom they look up for relief in healing previously unresolved traumas. Thank you for allowing me to interview you today.
Thank you.
So, if I may ask, what kind of medicine did you practice in Russia?
That's occupational medicine, which is focusing on health of workers. So that's mostly of population who work in a condition like biohazard or other hazards, like occupational hazards, I would say. So we have a doctors who specialize in certain area. For instance, my field of interest was noise pathology, vibration, and lung disease, which would be welders and coal miners. So that specialist will know everything about the biological or chemical agent. So that would be more efficient. Make sense?
And when you came to the US, how did you transition into trauma treatment or more like psychological treatment?
Psychiatric. So I would say psychology and psychiatry work the same, except in psychiatry you use medication, correct? And more procedural with a psychologist, all behavioral. So when I came to the United States, I did some research and I found RN program where they accept medical professionals from other country, and it was a 2.5 years nursing program. So I become RN. And it was not easy to find first job because I did not have experience in the United States. So I basically took very first one that was offered to me. And that was a private psychiatric hospital. And I started thinking, oh, I will move somewhere. I just got experience. I will be more open to others. But I become liking it, maybe because so new and interesting. And now I'm very happy in field where I am.
Now it sounds like the previous position was more like a conventional psychiatry where you're not using the new methods. Can you tell me more about what tools you're using at the VA?
Yeah, that's good word, convention. It's just a psychiatric unit with a medication treatment, traditional treatments. Then I saw announcements hiring position about this new cutting-edge technology, which called transcranial magnetic stimulation. We call it TMS. And that position was for study, 4 years study, like a trial. And I did not get this position, but I really interested in that. 4 years later, when study was done and proved efficacy of treatment, so there is position was for RN to work at this new open clinic. So, and I apply again, and I went through interview, and I was hired. It's so interesting. So from the beginning, we built clinic from scratch. It's so new that you really have to figure out as you go. So we start slow. This treatment was very new to the world or to VA facility. So VA piloted this program in a large scale. When I was in training in Charleston, I was trained by the TMS guru in the country, Dr. Mark George. He published quite a few books, and he's a world well-known TMS specialist. So when he trained a group of doctors, providers from VA, he says, you should be very excited because world is watching you, because nobody perform treatment on that large scale. Like every VA center has same clinic. And after maybe 3, 4, 5 years, we will have data nobody in the world has. So we collect lots of data, and someday it will be published and it will be a big turn in medicine, I believe. So I'm very proud to be part of that.
Our conversation then turned to the question of mental traumas in life and the terrible situations our heroes of war experience, some of them too horrifying to be mentioned here. That led us to our first experiences with death and the brutalities endemic in most of our cultures.
Yeah, I mentioned that my first experience was at around the age of 3. My grandmother died unexpectedly, and I was taken to this open casket event, and all my aunts were distraught. They were screaming and yelling.
The more scream, then it's kind of better. Yeah.
It shouldn't be funny, but it's interesting how sometimes it does happen that we call it a positive feedback loop, right? It's the more you scream, the more I'll scream. And
yes.
And also as a child, one has a different perspective on these kinds of brutalities. Did you have to endure that kind of thing, or how is it over there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Brutality is an everyday reality. For instance, when I was young, you kind of have to fight, really have to fight. Otherwise, if you will be weak, you will be bullied. And then when you're at school, there's nobody really protecting yourself. You can on your own. So I fight a lot, not just for myself, protect myself. So I have a friend, I was maybe 10 years old, and he was 2 years older than me. And they tease us because I have a boyfriend, and boys tease him because we were good friends. And to prove that I'm a good friend, when he fight, I always assist him. We always fight together. And one day we were playing, and other boys, like 3 or 4, start teasing us, and they threw some rocks and hit my friend, and he started bleeding. And they were thinking that it would be easy for them to took him down, but they did not know I'm a good fighter too. So I remember there was a painter brush, and I did not realize that paint was so dry and like cement. So I take this brush and smash one on the face. So his skin just break, and they put stitches, and we were in big, big troubles after that. So we fight for ourselves. It's not like we were attacking or something. So kind of used to that. And when I see brutality, I don't like it, of course, and I feel very safe here. But if I will be in Ukraine right now, I probably will do anything to protect myself. I don't know. It's difficult.
Sadly, the endemic nature of our afflictions became evident to me, and I wondered about the current efficacy findings and potential positive impact we can hope for with TMS as a treatment.
How do you feel about your possibilities? As a doctor, I imagine you have to confront these limitations. You want to help, and sometimes, from what I've heard, a lot of doctors have to confront this incapacity to help people. Have you experienced that, or what's your experience helping your patients and your success rate?
That's a question. Success rate. After our treatment, the patient who has life, I call it, life behind them, they go back and very active and high functioning. For those who does not have job, hobby, relationship, friends, anything, they will drown quickly to the depression just from being sitting in front of TV. So that's what success rate is, I would say, because we look at long term, correct? Not just 2 months improvement. We also, I did not mention, in this new technology, the rate of non-responders are 20 to 30%, and we don't know why. It's kind of upsetting for a patient who come for a few weeks every day and hopeful, like last hope, and no response. So 30% or plus minus, great response, full remission. Another 30% plus minus are good 50% improvement. For somebody who is suicidal and severely depressed, it's a good level to be. And we have 20-30% patient that totally not responding. So we do lots of research at VA. We try to find like image of brain or why, what's wrong, why these people not responding. Maybe brain lies differently in their head. So what's wrong with that patient?
Thank you so much. It's been so nice talking to you.
Thank you very much for interviewing me.
To find out more about TMS, Google for transcranial magnetic stimulation, or check out one of the latest generations of TMS technology at brainsway.com. And in closing, I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to all those dedicated to the kind treatment, support, and rehabilitation of our fellow humans suffering from mental health conditions, especially those who, even though have physically returned from battlefields, find themselves still emotionally lost in the midst of the atrocities of war. Until next time, I invite you to keep on cracking the Nature Code.